Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome back to another episode of the Hunt, Lift, Eat podcast. I'm going to be your host today, Daniel, and I am joined here by three ravishing looking gentlemen. We got Garrett, Charlie, and Will here. We are in Turkey, Texas with El Cazador Guide Service on a turkey and hog hunt this last couple days. So how are you guys doing?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. It's been a little toasty sometimes in the afternoon, but
I'm sweating my balls off right now.
Nothing little hoochie daddy shorts don't cure.
Yeah, it's been fun. A lot of fun. A lot of good times. Fired a lot of rounds off. Killed a few things.
So Charlie's on the leaderboard right now. Had a pretty productive couple days.
Yeah. Started out over in Central Texas on a turkey hunt before coming out here and smoked a pretty good sized Rio out there, and then called in a few more for a couple of other buddies, came out here, and first morning out.
Got it done.
2 in 2 days ain't bad.
No, it was good, man. Came out here and got set up in a blind. It was real quiet. A little bit of gobbling going on, but nothing was really responding to any hen calls. And had a hen come out. I was like, oh, it's perfect. Got our own decoy. Bring in those gobblers. Coyote started howling, everything shut up, and I was like, well, that's it for the morning. Ain't nothing going on now. And then sure as shit, this Jake just comes fucking walking out right by the blind, 40 yards out, domed him and pulling up on the leaderboard.
Heck yeah. As for the rest of us, we have not fired any shots. Well, I fired shots today.
What did you fire at?
Big ol' hog. Shots fired, not a dead hog, not shots hit.
That was a big hog.
It was a big hog.
Yeah, came in quick, came in fast. I didn't know that you could call in hogs. I've heard people talk about it before, but I've never seen it done.
It was really funny to watch because I had like the view of everybody else in front of me. And I was watching everybody kind of get a little more demoralized the longer we sat there. And everybody's like already. 2 minutes later, they're kind of like, okay, I can settle back down. And then I see Dan just sit on his ass. And he's just like got his feet out in front of him. And he's just like hanging out. Dude, at that point, I've just stood up entirely and I've just got my rifle down. And then all of a sudden, Luke kind of goes like, oh shit. Like everybody starts kind of freaking out for a sec because this fucker came in hot.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, you're right. I was, man, when we first set that call up and started hitting it, I was ready, dude. Like, camera was recording on the rifle and everything. I was on one knee, perfect state, like ready to rock and roll. And yeah, about 2 minutes later, I was like, oh, I can't feel my legs anymore. Just pop a squat and wait for some excitement.
For everybody listening that wasn't there, our guy Jonathan set out Luke's giant JBL speaker like 30 yards in front of us, 20 yards in front of us, put on a call, and we all got online next to him, ready to just absolutely hammer.
Just firing squad.
Whatever came in, and 2 minutes go by, and everybody's just like, this is not going well. I'm still more concerned about shooting the speaker on accident than I am actually shooting the hog.
Well, I think he heard it before we saw it, right? Because I'm behind video, and I'm real wide, and I kind of saw him turn to Luke, and that's when Luke kind of started freaking out and got up. They got that gun on his shoulder.
He told... I don't know if you guys could hear on your side, but on our side, he told us hogs coming, big ones coming. And I'm looking, I'm like, man, I don't see nothing, like thinking maybe he just heard something rustling in the trees. And then like by the time the hog was on the road and you could see him, I was trying to get my shit together and get a gun pulled up and try to shoot him as he was running out of there after Kiefer and Luke already threw like 4 or 5 rounds downrange. But
I think Kiefer only got to throw one.
He threw two of that giant 44 mag he's got, Dirty Harry style.
We'll have to post this thing on the Instagram because it's awesome.
It is ridiculous.
It's a 44 mag with a scope and then a red light mounted on top of it.
And for the record, it's not a small red light. It is a police mag light size that you could beat somebody in the head.
I've bought big pizzas that were smaller.
This whole setup's got to weigh at least 25, 30 pounds in a pistol. But it is sighted in. We got it zeroed in yesterday, so
at what, 50, right?
50, yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be cool. I'm excited for tonight with that thing.
No, dude.
I just want to look over and just see the smiles on Kiefer's face.
It was so entertaining to watch him walking out in front of me last night. He's got the pistol out in front of him looking around the road. Just like...
In the side-by-side, one arm out the window, 30-pound pistol.
We at one point, I was, like, using the thermal sight to look down the road as we were driving just to see if there's anything way down the road. And Kiefer's got the other, like, the red light just going through the forest around us.
Yeah, so tonight, I think Jonathan's got this, like, big old light bar that he set on top of the Ranger, and it's a 1,000-yard red light. So we're going to go out there. Everybody's going to line up. He'll throw that speaker out there and start calling, and hopefully we'll get after it.
Yeah, I'm excited for tonight. This should be a fun little shit show here.
It'll be cool. Yeah, all the pictures and videos and stuff that he showed us from their last couple clients that ran through here in the wheat fields, looks like it gets western.
Yeah, and so me and Kiefer early this morning, we didn't spend more than 5-10 minutes in our blind, and like all of a sudden Kiefer starts going, oh shit, pig, and just probably 110 pound pig came just right up to where the feeder used to be, and like I guess there's a bigger boar that's been running around fucking up all the feeders around here. So, like, some of them have been just, like, down anyways. So, they're just throwing bait piles out, at this point. And this guy came out, spent all of about a minute and a half running around. Kiefer and I didn't really, like, we barely had just gotten sat down. So, like, we were kind of caught almost literally with our pants down there. Like, so we didn't get a good chance at getting a shot on him before he was back out of the country again. But yeah. we had a few encounters with some pigs there last night and this morning. Heard gobbles all over that area for some Rios, but
yeah, turkeys are thick out here.
Yeah,
Luke and I were hunting this morning. We started out at this corner of the wheat field over here on the west side of the property in a ground blind, and had about 6 or 7 come 300 yards on the other side of the wheat field. We popped out when they got around and took off about 600 meters down the road. He got, I think, 5 yards. I mean, he could have, you know, dove on one, but just could never get a clean shot. And then he ended up getting one that was out there behind the blind. It was pretty cool. He low crawled out, and I got a good shot of him swinging it around like a helicopter trying to finish it off.
That's awesome. No, it's cool. This is a cool place. We got linked up with Jonathan. It was a couple of months ago. It was like clear back in February, I think, the first time I talked to him. And just open arm welcomed our crew out here to check out his place that he's got out here outfitting. And it's cool. I mean, they run everything from hogs, turkeys,
Audad,
whitetails, muleys. Yep, they got everything out here. The property backs up to a state park. And it's cool as shit. We went over there today and looked over the cliff tank.
It's affordable, man.
Like, yeah, it is. And it's 4,000 acres of private ground out here to hunt. And it's super affordable. And Jonathan's just awesome, dude. I mean, every meal out here has been fantastic. Lodging's sweet. You know, hey, here's 3 side-by-sides and 4,000 acres. Kill as many pigs as you can. See you later, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's welcome to them in with open arms and treated us like family. It's been great to him. And then Mark's guy that out here that helps him out, and he's been great cooking up some food and
hell of a cook. Yeah
helping out, you know, like we were talking about, throwing out bait piles and moving blinds. And I'm excited for tonight, man. I think it's gonna be a good one.
I think it is too. I'm stoked.
Yeah,
I'm stoked for it.
You know, it was what, 90 something degrees yesterday, so they don't move a lot during the, you know, during the day when the sun's out. And it got cooled off a little bit. It's been windy.
Yesterday was kind of wild. It was nice. It was really nice up until like, what, 2:30 or 3 in the afternoon, and then it was just hot as fuck.
Yeah, and I mean, the wind's blowing 45 miles an hour and
just whipping.
I think it's the end of their turkey season too, right? Because they're all kind of paired up, not really gobbling much.
Well, so that's been our experience here. I know in Central Texas where I was at, they were still going hot and heavy.
Were they?
The turkey season here in Texas, it is by region, but it opens up late March and then it ends, I think, early mid-May.
Okay.
So they're about halfway through right now.
They're still gobbling. I mean, every morning.
Yeah.
After, it doesn't matter the time of day, really. I've heard gobbles all day long out here.
Yeah. The hens talk a lot, too, yeah. which is cool to hear. I know where I was hunting before here, the hens were not talking much. Really, you're just hearing the gobblers, so.
When a Rio is just a gorgeous bird, man. I've not turkey hunted much in my life. Went a couple times with my dad when I was younger, but we were always after Easterns. And yesterday afternoon, they were at the feeder and watching them fan out with that sun hitting their tail feathers, man. It's a good looking bird.
Yeah, they're cool. They're cool. We got a couple of the women in the wild with us here this week too. We got both Jesses and Caroline, and Jess got a nice Rio. Was that yesterday morning? What day are we on? The days are
we're on the
together.
Second day.
So yeah, it was yesterday. She killed hers.
She didn't kill one.
She didn't kill one.
She didn't kill
one. She killed a rattlesnake this morning.
Oh, yeah. That's right. She killed a rattlesnake. Yeah. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Days are going together.
Obviously, it's hot. It's Texas. There's rattlers. And
yeah.
Yesterday, Jonathan was like, yeah, man, you know, been out here a year and a half, never seen one. And sure enough, this morning, he about damn near stepped on it.
Yeah.
It was a diamondback, not a timber.
Yeah.
And jeans, if you're listening. It's a
diamondback. But yeah, Jessica was good about being calm and saying, hey, you know, back away. And then they turn around and popped it with the shotgun, cut its head off, buried it, and I think she's going to take it home, skin it, eat it, whole nine. So, yeah. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be sweet. That's one thing I'm not well-versed in is rattlesnakes.
I just know to stay away from them.
God, just try not to find them.
Yeah. They were saying out here, Jonathan and Luke, where the rattlers out here just do not rattle because the hogs eat them. So, even when the Jonathan almost stepped on this one, like, Bradler didn't make any noise, didn't rattle. Mm. Even after he got shot at, it's kind of wild.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's pretty crazy out here. It's cool, though. I mean, I could definitely see how you can get yourself in some trouble out here with snakes. It just gets bare and then just thick right away, and you're not looking to – everything blends in together on the ground. And
when that mesquite –
step over one right away and be in a bad situation.
Yeah, that mesquite's so thick, it's tough to see through. It's tough to get through.
Yeah.
It's some interesting country out here.
That is cool. I was pretty impressed over there. We went today by that waterfall, how actually steep the terrain was and how rocky it got.
Yeah, I mean, you saw those caves and all those trails coming out and up. I mean, that's not an easy hike for us, but I guess for those all dads or whatever coming out of their lines, whatever it is, they're getting all through that CRP and going where they need to go.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. If you guys get a chance to check it out, I can't recommend it enough.
Yes, definitely a great place to come. I mean, I know we've all been different lodges, different outfitters, but I mean, this has been an absolute, you know, top of the line outfit, from food to the lodging to how awesome they've been helping us out, getting us to where we need to go. Like, it's, yep. Like, this is a great place to come. And like you said, affordable. I mean, I know Jonathan's line when we first got here was like, you know, the average man can't afford to put meat in his freezer anymore, especially in the state of Texas where it's a lot of private land. You got to know somebody. You're paying an obscene amount of money to go out on hunts. Like, they've kept this place affordable, and it is absolutely incredible. Definitely some of the best hunting I've ever done here.
Yeah, it is. It's cool. And the animals are there. And I think we just got bad luck with the heat, you know. That makes it super hard to hunt. But I got a good feeling about tonight. Yeah. Going out at night in the wheat field, in the dark.
And it's the side of the property we haven't really been hunting the past day and a half, you know.
I guess he said it's been untouched for a little while now. So.
Yeah. I think that's where. So they run a cattle operation, too, here. The folks that actually own the land. I think he said they got 40 or 50 cattle. So that's where they turn them out for the most part. So that's really the only thing that's been running around for the past couple weeks.
Yeah, and those pigs don't care about cows.
No.
They'll hang out with them all the time.
Yeah, I think there's. He said he was trying to wrangle some in the pen earlier.
Yeah, trying to put some.
And there's a couple that were pissed off and not having it, so.
That sounds about right.
Sounds about right.
Just don't shoot a cow, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, beef's way cheaper at the store than coming out here to do it. Did you hear that story about that? I think it was like a woman that was elk hunting in like Montana or something like that and had a cow tag.
No.
And legit went and shot a bovine cattle cow, brought it back to the landowner, like, yeah, I got my cow. And he's like, this will be the most expensive cow you ever got because you're going to pay me for that cow and the next 3 years of calves that would have came from that cow, too.
That's an expensive lesson to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could go into the woods on that, but I don't think we should right now.
No.
Know your target. That's all I'll say. Know your target.
Yeah, man.
But speaking of the old gunslinger himself, John Wayne over here with the revolver on his hip.
Looking like a PH in Africa.
Looks like an African professional hunter, yeah.
That's actually a really good way to describe it.
He really does. I mean,
he does. He's got the shorts, he's got the boots.
Got the shorts, the boots, the long sleeve mustache.
What's going on, guys?
Well, Mr. Kiefer Rogers, guys, is jumping in here with us, too. So Kiefer's been on this trip with us. And what do you got to say? What do you think?
I love Texas. Warm welcoming back. Yeah, when you can bring any and all of your weapons at any time of the year, there's not much to complain about. Surrounded by good people, team members, staff, El Cazador, Jonathan's been, and Mark, the cook. Nothing but amazing, honestly. It's been a blast, and it's not over.
It's not over, yeah. We got a night.
Yeah, we're
about
an hour.
Some of us have a morning as well tomorrow, so.
We're about an hour out from heading back out again and trying to make this whole thing happen.
Yeah, yeah, tonight's game plan, like we were kind of talking earlier, is going to this wheat field, and Jonathan's got some red light out that we're going to put up, and it's going to be a party, I think.
Yeah, we got
throw that column.
Thermals,
night vision, red light.
Red lights.
Big speaker and electronic calls. And from what I saw earlier today, they literally come running in to the calls. Big ones, too.
Yeah, that was impressive. Having lived down here in Texas and spotting stock pigs before and doing that, I never really thought to try to call them too much. Jonathan's all about it, which after today on that road, I'm sold.
Yeah. I mean,
it's going to be in my arsenal at all times now.
If that might be the first go-to option and then figure things out from there.
I mean, yeah, it's a good way to get them in and get them going at least first.
Oh, yeah.
And then spot and stock later if you wanted to, but.
But I mean, honestly, it's way better. Like, it's way better than sitting in the dark at a stand for hours waiting for them to come in. If you can throw out, you know, a giant Bluetooth speaker and
pull them in close.
Pull them in, you know, if they're already in the area, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely gonna be my go-to now.
For sure. I mean, for last night, sitting in the blind, right as the sun went down, I've got a night vision set up that I was running, and I didn't really realize, or think about it, you know, that's really only good to, 50 yards, because with the night vision, it uses the light to project to, you know, be able to see, and it goes about 50 yards, and that's it. So I couldn't see anything coming in from a distance at all. So if you can call them in and bring them in to where you need to be, that's going to be the ticket.
Oh, yeah. We got, what, 8 shooters tonight? I mean, it's...
Something should die.
Down.
if things don't die here in the next...
I'm selling all my stuff.
Yeah. We're really good shooters. We can shoot the shit out of guns.
Hear me out.
Yeah.
Let's do this old school with muskets.
Eesh. I don't know. I'd actually
the probably, last experience I had with a bunch of people using muzzleloaders did not go well.
So. Same. Yeah, I don't know. I think that'd be a little challenging.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or we all go bows.
I thought about that. That's why I asked Jonathan if how's this work? If we fire a squad at 30 hogs, you know, let it sit for a couple hours, go to the other side of a field or whatever, will another batch come in or not? Because I really badly want to do all right, everybody draw back 1, 2, 3 and just volley arrows into a pile of hogs.
Medieval style.
Yeah.
Yeah. After my performance earlier with this
dude
contraption, I'm pretty sure I would have done a lot better with my bow in hand.
Oh, same. I for sure would have got an arrow stuck in that hog day if I had my bow.
Yeah, there's a reason my Tuesday tips was not on handgun shooting, and it was on bow archery tips.
Kiefer and I were talking about that the other day as we rolled into camp here and wanted to confirm zero on our rifles and, well, handguns as well. Kiefer, if you call that thing a handgun, it's a two-handgun.
It's a hand cannon.
But yeah, we're like, man, most people freak out at the idea of having to sight in a bow, but Keith and I are on the same wavelength of I'll do it in my sleep every single day. Just got more reps with it and it makes more sense. But
yeah, I'm way more proficient. There's no doubt about that after one shooting. Yeah, sighting in. I think I shot that thing at least 20 times, 25 to 50 yards. I'm like, I can hold a 5-inch group at 100 with my bow.
Yeah.
Doesn't make much sense. So.
It is what it is. Yeah. It is what it is. What else you guys got?
I don't know, man.
What are you thinking? We want a lot of tired guys around here.
Do you want to talk turkeys? Do you want to talk pigs?
That's kind of shit about killing turkeys.
Dude, I'm the worst turkey hunter on the planet, and we got the turkey slayer with us. And
true.
I mean,
Charlie, 2 in 2 days, right?
2 in 2 days. I got lucky, maybe. I mean, I've turkey hunted on occasion for a lot of years without success. This year, I just felt like everything lined up really well. You know, I was over the weekend over there at my buddy's place, Central Texas. Like, we showed up the first morning, 6:30 a.m., and you could hear them gobbling from the moment you closed the truck door. It was like 12, 15 gobbling. It was just like literally you're in the middle of them. I mean, it was perfect. You couldn't ask for anything better. You walk out, put your back up against a tree, wait for the coyotes to go away before you start doing your little hen clucks. That way they don't freak out and bring the coyotes in. I fucked that up the first day. But then, I mean, we ended up walking out and just, it's weird because you would think that like all calls are the same. At least, you know, I did. But it's really trying to figure out what that one turkey that's willing to come in will respond to. So it's like pulling out the box call, trying everything under the sun, like find a noise they like, pulling out a slate call, doing the same thing. I tried pulling out a diaphragm call. Apparently, if you don't practice for, you know, a little bit before you do it, it sounds horrific. My buddy was like, put that away now. You're done.
You're done.
But no, I mean, it was really cool getting them to come in. I haven't done a lot of turkey hunting, but it's probably my favorite thing to do right now just because it's so interactive. It's like you're constantly doing something. You're getting some kind of almost like a dopamine hit when they start gobbling back at you and you hear them getting closer and your heart rate starts getting up. You're like, oh, shit, like here it comes. Get ready. And the first day I called one in and you couldn't have asked for a better shot. You know, he came in, big old Rio, probably 5 or 6 years old, 10 feet away. My buddy's laying down in the prone. Couldn't see him because he was like just out of the tree line from me. He's like, bang. I'm like, oh, did he get it? Bang. I'm like, oh, that's not good. And then I just see this turkey take off flying across the open field. And I was like, God damn it. My buddy's like, dude, I missed him. I'm like, well, okay, how close were you? He's like, 10 feet. I'm like, you could have thrown your shotgun at him and hit him. Yeah. Like, what happened, dude? Gave him a ton of shit. And then I was concerned the next day. I'm like, I talked so much shit the first day. I'm going to have the same thing happen to me the next day. Like, you know, we're all one trigger pull away from being the butt of a joke. Like, then the second day came around and, you know, just chased them all around and got one to come in. Pulled the trigger, got lucky at 36 yards. And then what's wild is, like, they don't care if you pull the trigger. Like, you'll hear him start gobbling immediately. So I shot mine, tagged him real quick. Had two other guys with me, started calling again, had another one pop up right there. He came in close. I think he got scared off by the decoy or, you know, maybe he saw one of us, got busted. Came out, tried playing around with a couple other ones, didn't end up getting anything that close for the other guys, but still spending 3 hours talking to birds was a blast. And coming out here and 3 hours away, roughly, from where I was at, and it's a completely different ballgame.
Yeah.
I mean, like, not responding to calls, they're already bacheloring up, like, it's
totally different hunt.
Totally different. It's wild.
I think that's one thing that, you know, a lot of people say, like, turkey hunting a lot like elk hunting or whatever, and I think that's, like, probably the biggest similarity is just how interactive it is and back and forth with the animal and the chase. And I mean, like, yeah, you can rattle in deer and grunt deer and stuff like that, but the intensity and the quickness of a hunt and how things can change with turkeys and elk are insanely similar.
Oh, are we getting lucky? Are we going to get Jonathan on this one?
Yeah, I'm going to.
I think that will.
Yes. So we're actually going to grab Jonathan, the
man himself,
the outfitter here for us, and
the man of the hour.
Throw him on the podcast. So I'd like to introduce y'all to him, and I'll let him go from there.
What's up, gentlemen?
What's going on, buddy?
Well, you know, just trying to rest up. Getting beat up by this Texas heat and the wind and everything else.
The wind is no joke out here in West Texas.
No, it is not. Then, of course, you have beautiful sunsets and evenings like this with probably about 4 mile an hour wind right now. And
perfect situation.
Gorgeous. Absolutely.
A little different than this morning at that pop-up blind I was in this morning. I had to reposition myself so that I could have my back up against the one side to keep it from coming in on us.
You know, most people use those little tent type stakes and stuff. Here in West Texas, we use T-post.
Oh, yeah.
Rebar, yeah. T-post.
Yeah, like 6 foot into the ground.
Yeah.
So ratchet not straps.
And I've actually seen, you know, in South Texas and other places, they're like, yeah, we just leave our pop-up blind up all year long. And I'm like, that must be nice. You know, I tried leaving it up longer than 3 days, and that thing was about 800 yards away down in the bottom of a canyon.
Yeah.
Completely ripped up. Like, it just does not happen here in West Texas, unfortunately.
No, not at all. It's different breed animal out here. When it comes to your wind and everything that you guys got, especially.
Man, in Lubbock, Texas, and I don't know if it's still this way, but they were voted like the worst weather in the United States. Oh, because we
really?
Have snow, we have tornadoes, we have hail, we have wind, we have haboobs, which are like the 60-foot walls of dirt that come in that you see in the Sahara Desert. Like we literally have those, yeah, zero visibility. It's nuts. We've got a little bit of everything around here, unfortunately.
Dang, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, a little bit of everything, kind of tell us how you got into this with this place and kind of introduce yourself on that.
Absolutely. My name is Jonathan Bryant, owner and guide with El Cazador Guide Service out of Turkey, Texas. We do some guides as far as hunting wise besides just in turkey. We have a couple other pieces of property that we have access to, but primarily everything is here on the property in turkey, which the ranch here and the family, Jared and Megan Lambert and Matt and Coralie Whittington, have acquired this property that's been in the family since 1889, which is
that's awesome,
unheard of these days. You know, and they're going to continue that legacy and continue to pass it on to their kids and grandkids. And, you know, it's just incredible to see. And they have an incredible cattle operation out here. And there's a little bit of everything from wheat fields to thick, horrible mesquite that we're so used to seeing. But my background and experience as far as in hunting and guiding in this business and industry, really, it just, of course, like most of us, started as a passion. Mm-hmm. You know, just something that we enjoyed, and I love connecting with people and meeting different people from different places. And it was an opportunity many years ago, I'm going to say probably about 12 to 15 years ago, started guiding bird hunts, quail and pheasant hunts. Had a German short hair pointer, and he's awesome. His mom and dad were champion gun dogs and world champion bird dogs and field trial champions. And so I got an incredible pedigree, and it just came natural for him. And so was able to start guiding hunts on about 3,000 acres just west of my hometown of Plainview and Alton in the Sandhills, loaded up with quail and pheasants and then mule deer. I mean, just giant muleys over there. They love the Sandhills, and, you know, just started reaching out and extending that opportunity for hunters to come in and be able to shoot mule deer, and it just kind of stemmed from there. And it was kind of like a just passion project. Was never really my goal to do this as much as it's taken off, especially out here over the past year and a half. And man, the wildlife and the opportunities and the people that I've been able to meet and connect with from all over the U.S. has been incredible. The partnerships, the relationships, the family type atmosphere that I've created out here has been awesome. And you know, this place has a lot to offer, obviously, just like I say, and I know you guys have experience with wildlife. It's wildlife, you know, you cannot predict them, and then you have no idea where they're where they're going to be sometimes when pressure systems come in and you have 40, 50 mile an hour gust and, you know, highs of 90s, but it's one of those things. That's the best part about hunting. That's why it's called hunting, because it's hard work, you know, and I just love the opportunity to be able to get to meet you guys and connect with y'all for the first time in person and be able to move forward.
Yeah, no, it's been awesome, man. We've absolutely loved our time here and already been talking about, okay, what's the schedules look like? Yeah. When are we coming through? When can we stop by for a couple of days and make a trip back again? So it's been awesome, man. And, you know, just that first night that you and I had a phone call, I mean, we talked for the phone for what, an hour, 2 hours, just like we've known each other forever. And it's just been a really good time out here. And we love what you're doing and super appreciative for the opportunity.
Absolutely.
Come out here.
Absolutely. And hopefully you guys can leave here and know that there's a little bit of good West Texas hospitality with open arms and open gates for you guys to be able to come back to and to be able to get some more content and put some more animals in the freezer or on the ground and make this a lifelong opportunity for you and your family and your kids to come and me to be able to pass on to my son and just carry on that tradition of this relationship. So yeah, you're right. It's been awesome from the phone call to the Zoom with Luke and finding out what Hunt, Lift, Eat represents, lines of marmals and values and the direction that I'm heading. Mm-hmm. And so again, I just truly look forward to the opportunity of what the future hosts for us.
Yeah, man, we do too. We do too. We appreciate it. Where can, I know we're getting close to need to roll out of here for tonight's for the main event, but where can folks get a hold of you at?
They can get a hold of me at elcazadorhunts.com. They can find me on Instagram, El Cazador Guide Service on Instagram. I'm trying to think of Facebook, El Cazador Guide Service on Facebook, a Facebook page. It is private because just like most people, I try to protect my clients' privacy. I try to protect them and I don't want to open them up of getting spammed.
Sure.
By outside good old social media stuff. And so it is a private group, but be more than happy to add people and start to expand that and allow them to reach out and connect that way. They can also give me a call, 806-518-1165. Be more than happy to talk shop and figure out what's on your list and how we can help make that happen.
Sweet. That's awesome. Guys, I can't say it enough to go ahead and check out Jonathan and El Cazador, what they got going on here. I think everybody here at this table can agree.
Yeah. The hospitality, the property, everything's been awesome. The food, shout out to Mark. Everything's been great.
Yeah, Chef Mark. Yeah. Mark Bozeman, yeah. World-class chef. Yeah, I mean, when you come to
He's
camp,
shaking his head.
He told me today when he got that nachos and everything out, he's like, I don't eat that, that's no good. And I sat there for 5 minutes while everybody else is out just chip after chip eating away.
That smoked queso slaps.
Oh yeah,
pretty good. Yeah, that's one thing that I do want to say. I mean, you might want to fast for a couple of days before you come out and come hungry. You're definitely gonna be taken care of from the food side and all the way around from top to bottom. So again, appreciate you guys being here and look forward to the future.
Hell yeah.
Awesome.
Charlie, Kiefer, you guys got any last thoughts?
If you are on the fence about coming out here, you need to come out here. I mean, this, I know we've said it 100 times already, this podcast, but this place is top notch. You will not be disappointed. Come out here. And also just be ready. I know we're going to have more content out here. I know we're going to get Jonathan on the podcast soon. And Jonathan, I know you got something you want to add.
Yeah, and I just, you know, because of the relationship that we've created, I don't know if you guys have already talked about this, but I definitely want to offer the discount to all HLE members, you know, already, and a 20% discount on their hunts, you know, and offer that to you guys to be able to take advantage of. And I'm also one of those guys, too, that I, from a guide standpoint, from a business standpoint, for me, you know, business is business. It's not necessarily about the money, but if something doesn't happen, because as a guide, I fully feel that you cannot guarantee somebody 100% opportunity. It's wild animals, low fence, fair chase.
100%.
So if something doesn't work out, I'm not that person that says, hey, you know, still pay, see you later, peace out, here's the gate. No, let's rebook. Let's get some other dates that work better for you and come back and give you the opportunity to do it again. Because at the end of the day, that's why you're here. You know, create those memories with your family, with your friends, and give you the opportunity to come back and chase after it again.
Hell yeah. That's awesome, man.
Heck yeah.
Kiefer?
I'm just going to say I love Texas, and I will definitely be back. Again, can't speak enough about the hospitality. And, yeah, just shout-out to these guys here at El Cazador, and I look forward to being back, and I'm ready to go slay some pigs tonight.
Yep, it's time to take these Hoochie Daddy shorts off, put the long pants on, the boots. Putting pants back on, Charlie. Don't get too excited over there. Go chase some hogs tonight and get some bacon down. So we appreciate the hell out of you guys tuning in. Stay tuned. Watch the YouTube and the Instagram for all the sweet, badass footage that Will has sacrificed life and limb for over the last couple days. And, yeah, check it out. Reach out to Jonathan at El Cazador and book a hunt. Can't say it enough, but we appreciate you guys. Thanks for listening. See ya.